Sears the Northland soul, but the wickedest born from the pole to the horn was the hermit of Shark Tooth Shoal. If you will, please. Come on, big, big, big. It's all the way up. Turn it all the way up, son. Do not be hesitant in this world. It requires a firm hand for crying out loud. Bop ba da 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 doo 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 bop doo ba da doo 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 Hold it, that's enough of that. I don't want to hear any more kidding around. Now, Jacob Keim was the hermit's name in the days of his pious youth, ere he cast a smirch on the Baptist church by betraying a girl named Ruth. but now men quake at Yukon Jake, the hermit of Shark Tooth Shoal, for that is the name that Jacob Keim is known by from Nome to the Pole. He was just a boy, and the parson's joy, ere he fell for the gold and the muck, and he learned to pray with the hogs and the hay on a farm near Keokuk. But a Robert Service tale of illicit kale and whiskey and women wild drained the morals clean as a soup tureen from this poor but honest child. Ah, he longed for the bite of a Yukon night and the northern light's weird flicker for a game of stud in the frozen mud and the taste of raw, red liquor. He wanted to mush along in the slush with a team of husky hounds and to fire his gat at a beaver hat and knock it out of bounds. So he left his home for the hellhound town named Nome on Alaska's ice-ribbed shores. And he learned to curse and to drink and worse till the rum dripped from his pores. Don't you envy that son of a gun, man? He went all the way, bringing up them big. That's a salute tonight to Rex Reed. Oh, yes. My God, that was a wonderful movie. Incidentally speaking of... you want to hear more from Rexy? Sexy Rexy? Oh, my God, it's a wonderful movie. And this is Chucky here. And I just want to say to all you men out there that at last men have come to their senses and they've thrown off the old shackles and all those things. A lot of those fellas out there are using brute, but I just think it's wonderful that the men have thrown off their shackles down at the coffee shop, and I can chew tobacco now and go bowling, and they just don't say anything about it. Men have just come to their senses. All I have to say, if you please, will you, please. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. What the devil was that? What in the world was that? Reset the first one. First one. Maddie got carried away in there. Hey, by the way, that's one of my favorite commercials. I think the commercial is I'm telling you, it does more for the soul than Alice in Wonderland and everything combined, I'll tell you. Anybody who has to go to the movies for escapism is out of his birdo. Absolutely out of his bird. One of my great favorite commercials lately is this kid, you know, who's got this football suit on. And he's standing in the kitchen. He says, "Oh, Ma, did you have to clean it up so good? Look at it. It looks like a new football suit. And the gang down at the field, the coach, are all going to kid me because, after all, a football player shouldn't have a clean football suit." Well, that's all right, son. Axiom takes out the dirt where the dirt ain't even there. And Axiom cleans you up the way you should be cleaned. "Oh, Ma, gee whiz." And then the next scene, you see him trotting out the football field. You see that? All the other kids have got dirty suits on. He says, "Oh, who are you? Are you a bum? What are you talking about, a clean suit?" And the coach comes up and says, "Say, you're the only one that looks like a pro. You can play quarterback." You know, maybe that's why a lot of you guys didn't make the team. Dirty jerseys. Could very well have been it, you know? I mean, you kept getting mud, all of you, when you played football. You notice how clean Joe Namath is when he plays out there? Have you noticed Scrambling Fram? Always sharp and clean. He doesn't have that greasy kid stuff all over. Oh, no, he plays hard. All together, now let's go.
way, Marty, all the way, all the way. Not bad. You think that's easy, huh? That took me a lifetime of work on that. Oh, by the way, I have a little ad here. It's taken from the Bergen Record. It says, where can you see today's best entertainment? Broadway? Hollywood? It says, no, Hackensack. That's one of my favorite humor papers, by the way. The Bergen Record's a laugh-a-minute. It's really a boffo paper. It is. There's a lot of great stuff in there. Of course, the best show is actually in Hackensack, but you got to know where to go. One day they're going to raid that old town. We'd like to salute Kloster out there, still sitting out there sweating. And you want to hear more about that terrible kid from Keokuk that went up into the frozen north and just went to hell? Yeah, please, put that back up there again, friend. And we're all ready. Yes, sir. You remember Joseph came there? Jacob came, left his home for the hellhound town named Nome on Alaska's ice-ribbed shores? Well, when the boys on a spree were drinking it free in a Malamute saloon, and Dan McGrew and his dangerous crew shot craps with a piebald coon, when the kid on his stool banged away like a fool at a jag-time melody, and the barkeep vowed to the hard-boiled crowd that he'd cremate Sam McGee, then Joseph Kame, who had taken the name of Yukon Jake, the killer, would rake the dive with his 45 till the atmosphere grew chiller. With a sharp command, he'd make them stand and deliver their hard-earned dust. Then he'd drink the bar dry of rum and rye, as a Klondike bully must. That sounds like the average CCNY undergrad, doesn't it? Hard boy, tough man. Hard-bitten crew. Speaking of hard-bitten crews, before we go any further here, I'd like to, for those of you who follow the movement of art and sociological trends in our world, we have a note from New Delhi, December 27th. The Chinese communists have removed all Buddhist artifacts and relics from temples and monasteries in Tibet and have replaced them with statues and portraits of Chairman Mao Zedong. It was learned today in New Delhi. The religious articles have been taken to Red China for sale to foreign countries. The action resulted from the Chinese Communist Party Central Committee order a year ago to remove all Buddhist traces from Tibet. That takes care of Tibet. Just like that. Zap. Oh, man. Oh, that's a people's democracy for me. I like the whole people's democracy. Nothing like people's democracy. It gives you so much freedom and all that stuff. Would you please, let's salute the people's democracy. Would you bring it in there, please? There you go. Oh, the people's democracy. It goes all the way. It brings freedom, truth, and brotherhood to man. You better not be a Buddhist. You better not dig Christ. You better not read Time magazine in the people's democracy. Yes, sir, we go all the way. For T-R-U-T-H, truth, truth. B-E-A-U-T-Y-P-U-T. L-O-V-E. Oh, lovely, lovely, lovely. And the people's democracy all the way. There we go. We got to salute good things once in a while here. Speaking of good things, that was pretty good, wasn't it? I'm singing. No, you just keep that up. We're going to use it. By the way, we'd like to report another big thing that happened, and you missed it, friend, in Chicago. Playboy magazine's next Playmate of the Month had an unscheduled coming-out party. I'm quoting an AP note here, of sorts, when a truck tipped over on the north side in Chicago intersection and spilled over 250,000 copies of the March centerfold into the street. That's all. They just didn't have the made. Just a centerfold flew out there. Oh, man. And, quote, she wasn't dressed for the near-zero temperature either. The fold-out color photo shows Christine Korn, 22, reclining on a shag rug in front of a fireplace, clutching a not-very-big rag doll pillow. End of quote. The truck was carrying 250,000 of the photos from a lithographing plant at the plant where the magazine is printed. Quote, winds near 20 miles an hour immediately picked up many of the photos and scattered them about. Passersby picked up many and ran. You know, do you feel sometimes like a human starling ready to grab anything that flies, you know? I mean, just, you see it on the street, you grab it and you run. As a matter of fact, did you hear about what happened in Kentucky recently? Here's another note that, speaking of human starlings, Williamstown, Kentucky, an armored truck overturned on an icy Interstate 75 highway near here, and a large quantity of brand new money flew out when the door flew open. Hey, you never bring in money from the Mint. You know, that's not far from Fort Knox. Yeah, it flipped over and the door flew out. Armed guards immediately took positions around it. And most of the money, hundreds of thousands of dollars of brand new coins, was recovered. A motorist who was stopped to offer assistance, quote, was told, move on, buddy, by the guards armed with shotguns. But I don't know why that's, it seems funny to me. But there are a lot of things that seem funny to me. For example, could you give me my salute to England there, please? It's been a long time since we've had just hold on a minute. Where do I get all? They're all organized here. We'd like to salute a great Englishman, please.
My God, it always be an Englishman. There's from the hedgerows. We'll fight them with blood, sweat, and tears. There'll always be an Englishman. And tonight, the British Broadcasting Corporation and its third program salute valorous Englishmen everywhere. And when I do the salute, you reset that quick, will you, engine now? Thank you. We would like to salute this Englishman who upholds the great tradition of valorous Englishmen everywhere. Cross-examined by Inspector C.D. Ford, prosecuting. Defendant Staines said, and we quote, yeah, he put the salt and pepper pots in his sock as he intended to go to the bathroom and eat the salt and pepper there. He would then have returned the pots. By the way, he also denied chasing the waiter around the restaurant. And tonight we'd like to salute Defendant Staines, upholding the great tradition of bravery, truth, and blood and guts in the face of adversity. A man chasing a waiter around a restaurant with a salt and pepper pot in his socks is a man to be admired.
All right, thank you very much. That's our report from the British Broadcasting Corporation. This is WOR. And we'd like to salute an outstanding resident of Maspeth, Queens, tonight, but we didn't find one. So we can't salute anybody from Maspeth, Queens tonight. Nothing but mediocre clots out there, so that kills that one. Terrible. It's awful. But this is WOR, New York, and we have a couple little money-making ding-dongs here. Among them, oh, yes, indeed. Here it says, if you're the kind of guy that gets a kick out of driving... Well, no, it's true, you know. Most people... No, most people, you're just sitting there with their mouth hanging open. That's just like playing bumper cars. Most people, they don't. But if you really like to drive, you should find out about the new 1970 Datsun two-door sedan. It shows its dust to anything in its class. And of course, there's only two other cars in the class. But it sure shows a lot of dust in them cars. It goes like a sports car and rides like a dream. A 96-horsepower overhead cam engine. Incidentally, that is a fine little car. And I'd like to say this personal comment about the Datsun. It's probably, well, I would say one of the two or three safest cars made in the world today for its size, weight, and price class. It's a great little car, the Datsun. Well, sir, all right. I never could pronounce that right. It's a Japanese expression. It refers to what a gas the Datsun is, but, you know, it's Japanese. It doesn't quite translate. Well, the literal translation is, does flower devour bee, or does bee devour flower? Now, you wouldn't understand unless, you know, you were deeply immersed in Zen, which, of course, I am. So I understand this very well. And it refers specifically to the Datsun motor car. And that's why we say drive a Datsun, then decide. It's a sound move. There are over 30 Datsun dealers in the metropolitan area. In Connecticut, see Brown Car Town on Lindley Street in Bridgeport. Okay? Oh, that's a swinging place, Bridgeport. Now, wasn't that nice? That was a nice commercial. I'd like to give you another nice one if you'd like that. You know, you're sitting around picking your teeth. You know, it's pretty hard to read anyway. You know, for those of you out there that enjoy moving your lips when you read, and you'd like to start moving your lips to a different, you know, hear a different drummer, if you'd like a really different reading experience, try Quinto Lingo, which, by the way, is made with papaya, crushed almonds, and there's banana juice in it. It's really groovy. You put a little vodka in that, and I'll tell you, man, your ears will just sit up and whistle Dixie all night. That's Quinto Lingo. It's the magazine that talks your language, no matter whether your language is French or Spanish, German, Italian, Russian, or even North Jersey. In Quinto Lingo, the articles and jokes and anecdotes are printed in English with foreign language translations right next to them. You know. And then you know what it says. You know, some of these are just fantastic in Russian. And they are. You sit there and, I mean, you know, a joke, which is a real dog, you know, when you see it on Hee Haw, one of those, a terrible joke, you know. It comes off good in Russian because, you know, it's the accent. And you can do these things if you get Quinto Lingo. And if you'd like to call for it, you can call them right now. Get one of these fantastic things. By the way, if you don't like it, you just tell a publisher and he'll stop the whole thing right then. He'll cry a lot and yell, but you don't know anything. He's very sensitive, by the way. He speaks Quinto Lingo, which is a tough language right there. It makes you nervous because nobody else talks it. If you would like this little magazine, it's fun there. Call 247-5353 right now. 247-5353. By the way, would somebody please call that and find out what they say to you? Nav shmaz kapop, they call. Incidentally, do any of you know what that means? You don't? You'll learn that if you take Quinto Lingo. Nav shmaz kapop. Squibbly ips bips. Yoishtet kivana kedvish hogatoim? Yeah. Einem tutum tashik. Indeed, I have a checkered career of friends behind me. I've had many, many friends. Oh, yes. Have you ever tried to date a girl who spoke nothing but a Hungarian? You learn a few things. So does she, as a matter of fact. That's the only way to get there. By the way, what's that sign there? It says Middle Sex? What is this, a homophile magazine? Middle Sex. I see what you mean. We're going to Middle Sex. Excuse me. Hey, listen, there's a note. I'm sorry, Lee. It's just one of those nights. You know. Hey, am I a homespun satirist? What kind of jazz is this? Here's a note in one of the Jersey newspapers. It says, Edison, the Forum Committee, a student organization of Middlesex County College, will present Gene Shepard, well-known satirist and homespun humorist, in a special program February 18th. Shepard, often described as the leading satirist of the underground, is best known to his enormous and devoted audience as a cool and savage wit. Hey, I love that. Hey, hot diggity dog. It says he's also very homespun. I kind of like being homespun. What's the difference between a homespun satirist and, you know, a real satirist? Anybody tell me what that is? I suppose Woody Allen isn't homespun, huh? He's kitsch-spun, huh? A little chicken fat dripping off the ears there. I suppose that makes a difference. Is Flip Wilson homespun? Eh? Or is he ham hock spun? Or am I just homespun, you know? How do you get to be a homespun humorist? I'd like that. Oh, you want me to tell the rest of it? All right, okay. I'm going to be at Middlesex County College. And that's, it's tomorrow, isn't it? Wednesday? Well, what day is today? Is this Monday? Oh, for crying out loud. Life is one long song. This is now Monday, friends, in case you're wondering. Look, she's looking bugged. And look, now I don't know whether this is a... It says Shepard will appear in the college's physical education building. Well, that's fitting because I've brought along some of my films, gang. And we're going to have a little old underground film festival there. And, yeah, some films. I used to show them at the American Legion at the 2 o'clock in the morning. It's a great film. One of them stars this girlfriend of mine. And, whew, boy, I tell you, she really changed a lot from the time she was in third grade, making them films now. But we're going to have a little thing there at the Physical Education Building at 8 p.m. And that's going to be at Middlesex the 18th, which is, according to my chief in the control room there, is Wednesday. Correct? That's this Wednesday. Middlesex College, and that's in Edison, New Jersey. You know, it's funny how Edison got its name. It really is. Underneath the article, they have, you know how they put little squibs at the bottom of things, little fillers? Why, after this whole bit about me being homespun, it says lightning bolts may measure several miles in length. What is this? It says, but some of them are only 6 inches in diameter. Oh, poor little lightning bolt. Well, the hell, everybody can't be big. I mean, you know, you gotta take what comes, right? Did you know that Greenland is melting? That's a terrible thing to know. I mean, you know, here I thought I was going to bring you some good news here in 1970, but turns out Greenland is melting. It says it's going to add 200 feet of water to the world. It says by the end of 1976, it looks like Fire Island is going to be completely underwater. 200 feet of water. Oh, that's going to make some great parties out there. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine Cherry Grove 200 feet underwater? Yes, indeed. It's kind of funny. We'd like to salute, for those of you who are interested in, just hold on a minute there. Get my Salute to England music up there, please. Will you, please? I'll hold it there. I would like to salute another brave Englishman. Those of you who are curious about brave Englishmen, get it all set in there. Tell me when you're ready, Maddie. All right. Just get it set in there. While he's doing that, I'll, wait a minute here, I'll think of something. No, that can't be. No, no, I won't mention that on the air. That's sick. Terrible. Oh, what a bad thing. Oh, no, no, no. Okay, all set? All right, here, a salute to England. Bring it on. Oh! Oh, boy, you got me on the gut with that. Please, holy smokes.
Well, once again, the third program. Considering Englishmen everywhere, past, present, and future, salute another brave Englishman. Thank God we'll fight the war ahead. Blood, sweat, and tears, sin never sets on a brave Englishman. An unknown man with 3 convictions for indecent exposure, an Englishman was arrested when he bared his buttocks to a group of girls recently in Leicester Square. He told Balham Court last week, and we quote here, the words of a true Englishman, uncompromising. By God, it was a stupid compromise. And the next time we hope here at the British Broadcasting Corporation that this Englishman will be allowed to go all the way. Free expression must be protected. It is the basis of Western law.
I like the idea. It's a confounded compromise. All right, but, you know, 61 half does the other. I myself, personally, think that the I mean, you go through life, you compromise. You secretly do it yourself. Would you please reset that in there, Maddie? Oh, come on, come on. You're working. I know you're going to get the union on the line. This is not the Faye Henley show. It is not. Nor is it the Bear Faba show. No, sir. We work our men right down to the bone. They're jumping up and down, running around. Maddie's at the mighty Wurlitzer, and we're ready for another salute to Maddie Old England.
And now the British Broadcasting Corporation brings you sports news from everywhere. World War II was won on the playing fields of Eton. A very difficult sex test dispute arose yesterday when two women's football teams met in a competition sponsored by Huey Green, well-known television personality at Butland's Camp, Ayrshire. The woman who was challenged was too embarrassed to identify herself more fully than simply to call herself Jean, and she said, and we quote, "A brave Englishwoman." I was disgusted. It was horrible. I stripped to the waist, but the Aberdeen girls insisted they were not satisfied, and I refused to go any further. Jean blamed her Mia Farrow haircut for the incident.
Can you imagine the day when that the reverse happens one day? When the San Francisco Giants are out on the field, you know, and they're throwing the ball around. It's just before the ball game. All of a sudden, this manager looks out of the dugout. See, there's a new Met player out there. He's that first baseman, ain't no man. I demand that guy. What can happen? What's the matter? Don't look at me like that. We'd like to salute another brave Englishwoman, if we may, please, if you will, Mighty, please. Another brave Englishwoman here. It's so difficult.
Explaining why she didn't try to escape later on, Janice Trevelyan, an Englishwoman, said, and we quote here, yeah, "It is awfully difficult for a girl to get away from a man when she has her trousers round her knees."
I don't invent the news, friends. Don't get mad at me. I merely reports it. I merely says it like it comes out over the wires. Did I ever tell you about this friend of mine? One time was doing a newscast, and he came across a misprint that was so fantastic that it caught him off guard, and he just read it the way it came out over the wire. And I'll give you a little hint as to what it was about. He was describing, he says, in Pittsburgh yesterday, this fire broke out, and several spectators were hurt by falling bricks. And he read it. And it just came right out, gadungo, you know, and everybody started to... The ladies called up, well, just come in the wire. He's not, you know, he doesn't invent the news. I don't think we invent the news here. Well, now, all right, now, it's okay now. Everybody's in bed, right? I mean, the kids are asleep, right? Everybody's calmed down, right? Okay, right? Now we can at last, talk about the life. Oh, by the way, before we do that, you have a cable. Please, listen now. This is an assignment. We don't often give you a direct weekend assignment, but here is an assignment. There will be an unbelievable television program which will appear this Friday on Channel 13 at 8:30 p.m. There will be a scintillating personality that will be starring in that, and we'll just let you guess. But this is an assignment, and by the way, there will be questions about this program appear on the exam at the end of the semester. So I just thought I'd warn you. That is an assignment. 8:30, Channel 13. It's a bad luck channel, by the way. It is. I mean, nothing but snow and everything. Half the TV sets in town can't get nothing but police calls when they tune in 13, you know. But if you got color, I would suggest you watch it in color. Or can't you use that word anymore? You can. Very good. I just want to check with the front office here before we get, get too deeply involved. Speaking of getting deeply involved, you sometimes do, and you get a little embarrassed about it. Somebody wrote me a note the other day and said, "Shepard, you've never told us, about funny things that happened to you in radio." Well, the mere fact that I'm here at this hour of the night shows that's a funny thing that's happened to me on radio right there, friend. You can be homespun all you want, but... Hey, by the way, I'd like to ask a question about that, if I don't mind. You know, asking the Vox Populi out there. Hey, Vox, how are you? You listening? He's listening. Hockey's always listening. Yes, we'd like to salute Hockey out there, by the way. We got a letter from him. He was sitting on the third stool from the right, the Route 3 diner. He tried to send me a letter. It's not easy, you know, when you move your lips when you both write and read. But what are you going to do? I mean, six of one, half dozen the other. You know, speaking of funny moments, I do think, though, that commercial of these guys sitting around, how many of you seen that one? You know, the commercial where the guy is sitting. It's like a fake interview show. And he says, yeah, I'm a big slug McGuff. I play in the Packers. And, you know, we come down the dressing room, all us guys, you know, it's changing. You know, they used to shove around, kid each other around a lot. But now things are changing. You know, the young guys are getting on a team. They like to smell good after a ball game. And they take a shower, and they squirt all this candy water all over each other, you know, and they comb each other's hair. We just have a good time in the dressing room after the ball game. Things are changing a lot, you know. And the other day I was talking to Dickie, young Dickie Levere, you know, who does our place kick. And I said, Dickie, I'd like to try some of that stuff. And he said, oh, you'd love it. And I tried it. You know, it smells good. I squirted it all over me now, and I just have a lot of fun at them parties. Yes, sir, things are changing, man. Listen, I'm the chic of everything, and things are changing in the old locker room. Oh, ho, ho. And everything after the game goes through. Yes, sir, the halfbacks are dating. The tackles. Let's have a little juice out there, man. Just a minute. Reset that, if you will, please, Matty. Oh, sad thing happened in Tampa, Florida here. Al Fleischer's wallet came home the other day after spending 7 months in Europe in a bag of cattle food. What? You didn't hear that? Oh, that's a... Last March 11th, a long time ago, Fleischer was repairing a conveyor at the plant where he is a supervisor. His wallet popped out of his pocket, went down a conveyor belt with 8,000 tons of citrus pulp into the hold of the ship Atlantic Hope. The ship took the pulp and the wallet to Rotterdam, Holland. The citrus pulp was converted into cattle food, and the cattle food was bought by a French dairy farmer, Noel Duvier, in the village of La Châtelle. Duvier was pouring cattle food into a trough. He spotted the wallet, which contained Fleischer's credit cards and other identification. 1 month later, old Al Fleischer got the wallet back. And the only thing missing was a $10 bill. Of course, that's France. Now, that story would have been good. Now, had it said, Al Fleischer's wallet was lost in a conveyor belt where he is a supervisor. His wallet popped out of his pocket and went down a conveyor belt, 8,000 tons of citrus pulp, into the hold of the ship Atlantic Hope. And that's the last Al ever saw of his wallet. Next item. You know, speaking of did you ever... Oh, listen, I'm going to tell you, that's not funny. I one time, when I was working in a steel mill, now a lot of you guys have never worked in big industry, so you don't know. most people, in the, especially in the New York area, their idea of big industry, you know, is getting a job at Channel 9, you know, something like that. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do. They really do. They there's more kvetching, you know, because the Schraft coffee machine doesn't get around on time. You know, this, and the New Yorkers and people in the East in general haven't spent much time around really tough, big, hard, rough, hairy industry, see? Well, I saw a guy one time. In fact, there were a half a dozen of us used to be mailboys at Inland Steel. And now, I don't know whether you know much about a steel mill, but most of the people I know have never been inside of a mill or even actually thought about one much, except to see pictures. You always see these old pictures of Pat O'Brien, you know, these old movies, and O'Brien and Spencer Tracy. One guy's called Big Slug, and the other guy's called Big Mike. And Victor McLaughlin was always in steel mill movies and stuff. And every steel mill movie takes place at the same place, the open hearth, usually the open hearth floor. It's the equivalent, you know, of thinking that all Army guys are in the infantry. There's only two kinds of places to be in the Army, the infantry or the Air Force. I mean, if you were to believe the movies, you know. There's nobody in the quartermaster. Hey, by the way, did you ever see one of the really funny movies ever made about the Army? Was about guys in the quartermaster corps, and it was called Operation Madball. You ever see that with Ernie Kovacs, the captain? Well, now that was a typical, that was really a classic Army outfit, that much more close to the truth than the James Jones or Norman Mailer stuff. That's really the way it is, you know. And I was working in the steel mill. Well, now, everybody thinks, you know, you think the steel mill, oh, boy, that must be tough, hard, rough work. You must get, oh, no. The steel mill, every big outfit I've ever been in, I mean, where things are tough and there's a lot of noise and uproar and it's a tremendous organization, there is a subtle underground life that is lived by the guys in it that only the guys in these organizations know about. It's difficult to tell any of you who have never played in a traveling band, let's say a dance band, what it's like to be a second alto sax player in a traveling band with a book written by, let's say, Pete Rugolo. You know what I mean, Lee? It's impossible to tell this to anybody who has never done it. It is impossible for me to ever describe to you the feeling that you get when... Well, that I get, say, when I'm about to do a 45-minute show on the radio or in any medium, television, radio, go out on stage. It's an impossible thing to tell somebody. The people who've done these things, they understand vaguely, but just vaguely, because it's an extremely personal situation, very personal. And that's why very few books are ever written about things which are honestly... part of the lives of the people that quite often books are written about. For example, it's difficult. Well, very few people have ever read a novel or a story about what it's like to really act, to actually go out on a stage, to work on a play, and to actually act. What's the matter, Lee? You think there have been stories written about that? That's right. Well, then don't be smart. Okay, but I'm serious. This is something that's rarely done, and I've never read anything about how life is and actually is in heavy industry, because very few writers have ever been in it, and if they have been in it, it's only been briefly, like, quote, to get material, which is not the same as living in that world. And I'm reminded, you know, when I hear about this guy, his wallet goes down into the conveyor belt. I remember a scene. One day, there was a tremendous chipping dock. It's called a chipping dock, which is part of a steel mill. And a chipping dock is a great big, it's not a dock. It's really a big building that's built in a long, narrow, kind of hall-like way, and the fantastic sound that's in it. And it has tremendous conveyor belts that come down. And into this, and one end of this chipping dock is this tremendous vat where things are ground up. They would grind up a lot of scrap metal and stuff, just grind them up. And they, well, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like a 5,000-ton Waring blender. If you can imagine, a Waring blender that's 84 stories high and is operated by monster motors that are roughly the size of Lincoln Center, and they can throw, I mean, really, they could throw all of Staten Island into it, and it just grinds it up without even coughing, see. So here's this fantastic thing, and every day I would go past this giant machine, and it makes a fantastic noise. You could feel the ground just shake under your feet. It was a constant roar, and you'd yell at each other to try to talk. You'd stand right next to a guy and yell into his ear. Now, some guys had worked there for like 50 years, and every day, for 8 hours a day, for maybe 6 days a week, for year in and year out, they're next to this monster, and they cannot hear a word. And they just sort of work in great slow motion, vast oceans of sound. And every once in a while, this thing, you'd hear the relays kick over. And kaboom! 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 The relays would make the ground shudder. Great big, fantastic flashes of blue fire. These guys live in this, you know, so casually, just like a Fifth Avenue bus driver is driving his bus, and he doesn't even notice anything. And every day I come running through this place, and the sound, fantastic uproar. Well, one day I'm running along with Ernie Roller, who is my fellow mail boy. See, both of us have got big yellow helmets on with the goggles. And we've been running past this thing for like, possibly 8 months now, every day. And we never mentioned it to each other. We just run past this every day. And one day, Ernie Roller and I ran into this little office. And sitting in the same office every day was this one guy with a big yellow hat on, big goggles. He'd been in there for 75 years. And in the middle of that fantastic uproar of sound, Ernie hands him his mail. And we have a cup of coffee for a minute in the uproar. And Ernie says to him, yelling over the sound, "Hello, Charlie! Hey, Charlie, what would happen if you ever threw something in a machine, huh?" And he looks at him for a long time, and he says, "How come you ask that?" "Well, I don't know. I've just been wondering what would happen if you threw something in a machine." And all three of us, for one moment, paused. And then he came out with it. "I don't know. I've been wondering about that for 35 years. What do you say we go throw something in it?" And so the three of us get up, just like one. And we go out onto the big catwalk, looking down at this gigantic machine that was about as big as Times Square, and it was grinding up the world, you know? And we couldn't figure out what to throw in it. And so the foreman, who was about to do the throwing, he said, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll throw this beer can in." He picks up a beer can and throws it in the machine. Boom, 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 boom. It stopped. The relay kicked out. It detected foreign material. The three of us ran back into the office, pretended to be sorting mail. End of story. They never found out who threw the beer can into the number 3 open hearth masher grinder, the sub-conveyor belt 6. But so, everywhere you look, there are sneaky people operating under the cover of darkness, and only the shadow knows. Only the shadow and, what's his name on Channel 5? I forgot. Yeah, what's the matter? You can't help a guy. I forgot. Shadow knows. No, don't come and tell me that. No. It's not Lyle Vann that knows. No, that's ridiculous. That's the human side of the news. We deal with only with animals. Animals, Hockey, Dildock, and that crowd. Animals. Good night.